Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Learn to Code With Me podcast. I'm your host, Laurence Bradford, and in today's episode, we talk about how to come up with coding projects to build. But first, a quick word about this episode's sponsors. Zojo is a development tool you can use to build apps for desktop, mobile, and more. With Zojo, app building is easier and faster than ever, even for beginners. Learn to Code With Me listeners get 20% off with the coupon code ICANCODE. Try Zojo free at zojo.com/learn-to-code. Fullstack Academy is a leading coding bootcamp that helps great people become great developers at top companies like Google and Facebook. Learn to Code With Me listeners get access to their comprehensive JavaScript course for free. Visit fullstackacademy.com/learn to get started. In this show, I talk with Parker Finney, the founder of InterviewCake. Parker is well-versed on knowing how to rock technical interviews. That's what his company InterviewCake is all about. However, he also knows a ton about building coding projects. In our conversation, we discuss why a person should build a coding project in the first place, how one can figure out what to build if they have no clue what direction to take, how coding projects can help in your job hunt, and so much more. Also, make sure to stick around to the end of the episode where I share details about a limited time sale for the InterviewCake program. Enjoy the episode. Hey, Parker, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to chat with you. This is, of course, not your first time on the podcast. You were a guest in the past, back in season one. So like, oh my goodness, like, you know, 70 episodes ago or something. And we spoke about technical interviewing, which of course, which of course is your expertise because you run the site InterviewCake. But I'm really excited to have you on again today to talk about coding projects. So to kick things off, could you talk about how you just like define a coding project? Like what is a coding project?
I think it's especially interesting to talk about like side projects. So stuff that you're doing if you have a day job that you kind of like do on your own time on evenings and weekends, or if you're a student or if you're in your job search, it's just kind of like the thing you do to kind of keep the axe sharp. I don't know. I mean, there are a number of reasons why you might want to have one, which I'm sure we'll get into, but I'd say that's the high level definition.
All right. Awesome. And you already, I think, talked a little bit about this, but the side projects, the coding projects, for someone who's a beginner, what's the benefit of spending time building your own project?
Yeah, so I think there can be a few. The first one is if you have like a new tool chain that you're trying to learn. So say you're like, you know, you've done some JavaScript stuff with jQuery and you want to try out one of these fancy new front-end frameworks like Angular or Ember or something. You know, you can read guides or like go through a book or whatever, but there's nothing like actually building something. And so sometimes people will come up with an idea for like a toy project to test out learning the framework.
Yeah. So I feel like for a lot of people, and this was definitely the case for me when I first started out, it's almost like you don't know what you don't know. And even the task of figuring out a coding project to build can be overwhelming. So yeah, do you have any tips for people on ways they can get ideas of what to build?
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. I would say I've thought about this a bit. So I think the biggest thing is the best coding project is one that you actually work on. So the most important thing is that it seems really interesting and fun to you. So I can talk about some ideas for like kind of how to get your mind rolling. But I think that I would start with that, right? Because I think there are a lot of reasons why it's easy to like talk yourself out of a project idea, right? Like, for example, you might say like, oh, this is like actually not that technically complicated. But oh man, it's like something I really want. It's like something I totally would use. And like, I can't believe nobody else has built it yet, right? I think like, if you have that enthusiasm, you should go for it, right? Similarly, you might have the other kind of situation where you're like, oh man, I really want to build a like an image board kind of thing, like a place where you can go and post images and share them with your friends, sort of like a fake Facebook or something, right? And, but you might say like, oh man, but like, there's so many existing things for that. So like, it's not original, but I think it's like kind of technically interesting, right? Again, if like, if that project kind of speaks to you, I think you should go for it. So that's kind of like the first kind of framework I would suggest is like, there are two kind of broad categories. One is like reinventing the wheel, right? Like building something that you know exists and you'd like to kind of see if you can do it yourself. And the other is something that you really want to exist. And I think either of those can be great. It just comes down to what's actually more exciting to you.
Yeah, so I totally agree with the idea of building something that you're interested in, because I know, again, back to when I first started out, I would go through a bunch of projects. I never would finish the projects. I would maybe work on it for a week or a little more, a little less, and then I would just get super bored of it. So I think working on something that you're genuinely interested in is probably one of the most important things. Or are there other things that a person should consider besides just it being interesting to them?
I would say that's the biggest thing, because again, and I guess it depends on your working style a little bit. I know I'm one of those people that if I'm not excited about something, it's really hard for me to do meaningful work on it, which sucks. I wish I was not that way. I've worked with people who are not that way, who can just like say, okay, this is the most important thing to work on today. I'm going to work on it and make real progress. I'm not like that. I'm one of those people that will sort of have, I'll know what's most important and kind of not want to do it. And then I'll make progress on the second most important thing instead. It's what I sometimes call like productive procrastination, right? So I've come up with all these kind of little tricks for like tricking myself into being productive. And one of them is for something like side projects, having two things going at once. So you're always like kind of procrastinating on one. But the way that you're procrastinating is by like working on the other. So you're still kind of making progress overall.
Ooh, I love that. And I like that word, productive procrastination, because I feel like I do that all the time. I'll always prioritize things that I enjoy doing more than the things I don't enjoy doing. I think most people probably do that. Maybe some don't. As you mentioned, there are some people that they can just do the most important thing, even if they don't find it enjoyable. But could you share like an example of two things you have going at the same time, whether it's now or whether it was years ago or whatever?
Yeah, I haven't had like technical side projects in a minute, because I've been so focused on Interview Cake. I'm thinking about some projects I had going when I was a little bit younger. One was I built a Sudoku puzzle solver, which was a lot of fun, and I did it. I think it was in high school at the time, and I wrote it in PHP, and I did it while I was on an exchange program in Japan, and I was staying with a host family, and the mom who I was staying with, while everyone else was at work or at school, she stayed home and she did Sudoku puzzles. And so I thought it would be really fun if I like showed her this program, and I worked on it a bit while I was there. And then couldn't finish it until after. And I actually remember specifically that was a project that I got like 90% of the way through, and then I couldn't. I hit one of those bugs where like I would press run and it would just keep spinning. And I thought that what was happening was that it was like too computationally intensive or something. But of course, I just had a bug somewhere where there was a tight loop that didn't have an exit condition. But I remember I put that project down for like 6 months or something and worked on some other thing. I think actually the next project I had was an image board. This is sort of like a little while ago, but this is back in the days of like PHP BB, all these sort of like online forums and stuff. And my idea was to see if I could make my own. So that was another project I had going on, and I remember bouncing between those two. I had some other interesting ones in college. And like another thing I'd love to point out about side projects is, you know, for me at least, part of keeping things interesting sometimes is being a little subversive, right? Doing something that feels a little bit like you're like breaking the rules or hacking the system or something. And so in college, I started this group called the Hacker Club, and we made a couple things. One of them was a little widget that would notify you if somebody unfriended you on Facebook, which is something that Facebook doesn't have a feature for, but you can, the way it worked was you would log in and it would get your list of friends, and then it would check back, and if anyone was gone from the list, and that meant that they had unfriended you, right? We also built something that would text you, or I think it emailed you, if your favorite food was in the dining hall that day. So it would go to the dining hall website and scrape out the menu, and then figure out if, you know, if like eggplant parmesan was on there or whatever. So a bunch of things like that that like felt a little bit like, they were like goofy and dumb and like the kind of thing that, I think at first glance you might bring it back to like recruiting. You might feel a little bit, embarrassed to talk about in a recruiting context. But I actually think that, most companies, most engineers, love to hear that kind of story. They love, when folks, just sort of like bend the rules a tiny bit, or like come up with creative ways to kind of get around things. In fact, I remember one of the companies I interviewed with, they literally asked me the question, what is an example of a time that you did something really devious, like something really kind of naughty that you were surprised sort of worked? And so I had like all these stories from my college hacking days that I think kind of made an impression.
Ooh, those are really awesome stories. And I have to ask, did you charge for either of those or any of the things you've built in the past?
No, at that point I was very, I was really kind of like an anarchist, and like I was like not an entrepreneur at all. I thought entrepreneur was kind of a dirty word. So it was like very important to me that all this stuff was free for everybody.
Got it. So, because I'm thinking of like the notifying you when someone unfriends you from Facebook, I could see people paying for that. And perhaps even the cafeteria one, maybe. Because I was going to add that for me, at least, whenever I can make money from something, that always motivates me a lot more. So, in the context of a side project, I think, like if I was able to have a way to monetize it and make some money, even if it was a little bit, like $100 a month, it's still kind of extra motivation to finish it or to maintain it. If you're able to make something from it. But anyway, thanks. So yeah, thanks for sharing those. Those are great. And I think really creative for like a college student. No one, I feel like I've heard of the notifying friend thing before, like maybe other people built something somewhat similar a while ago or other little apps, but the cafeteria one, that's definitely sounds really interesting.
Yeah, I was really into what's called web scraping, right? This idea of like writing scripts that either just pull down information from websites, or in some cases, like actually make post requests, right? Like fill out forms for you or something on websites. There are all kinds of things you can do with this, and it's they all feel a little devious, which I think is like really interesting. And so for me, at least, it like really tickles me and is really good fodder for side project ideas. So some examples are like, you know, if you really like going to concerts or whatever, you can try to write a script that automatically tries to buy tickets to you know, the next Radiohead show the second that they go online, right? Because we've all had that experience of like trying to get tickets and like having five browser windows open or whatever. But you can automate that whole like five browser windows open thing with software, right? You could like write a script that like downloads all of Wikipedia and like stores an offline copy. you could write a script that takes all your photos off of Facebook and imports them into iPhoto or something, so that you can, you know, if you're one of those folks that like wants to get off Facebook, then you can kind of do that without feeling like you have to, you know, leave your pictures behind. These are just kind of some ideas to get people thinking. Again, for me at least, I think web scraping is like a really cool place to look for kind of devious side project ideas.
Yeah, and thanks for sharing all those examples. I'm sure they'll be really helpful for the listeners. I was also wondering, you mentioned the question that you were asked about, you know, talk about a time you did something devious. Were there any other ways that your side projects helped you get like a quote unquote real job at a tech company?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. A couple things. There was one time that it actually wasn't a side project. It was a work study project. I got a job on campus when I was a student making a web app where the idea was that you could, in real time while watching a video, kind of thumbs up, thumbs down moments in the video. And I think the professor working on it had kind of this business idea around it. And so we were building that out. But at a high level, it was like a very simple, it was like one PHP script or something, right? It like really was not a very advanced tech. But I did have to like very lightly touch like the YouTube API to so that I could get the player to talk to the PHP, or I guess the JavaScript in the front end, and know like what position in the video it was or something. Anyway, when I was interviewing after college, I spoke with a company that like did video stuff, and they were like super impressed and super into that, and like talking about like all the different product ideas for how to do it and stuff. You know, and again, like it wasn't at all technically complicated, but just the fact that it was like in the same realm as what they did was really cool for them. I think that's kind of the biggest thing, and that's a hard thing to optimize for, right? Like, I wouldn't say that you know, if you know you really want to work for Instagram, that like you should make an Instagram clone. I mean, unless that actually sounds fun to you, that's like a lot of time to invest, like just to maybe kind of get that moment of you know, piquing your interviewer's interest. I think the bigger thing is just ideally, you know, and again, I would say like the most important thing is that it's actually exciting to you. But beyond that, it is helpful to have at least one of your side projects be something that's somewhat technically complicated, right? In other words, the kind of thing where you could sit down with a whiteboard, stand up at a whiteboard, or like sit down with a piece of paper and a pen and kind of walk someone through, okay, here's how the system worked, and like make a little flowcharty thing of how data moved through and, you know, like what the database model was, and, you know, something that kind of has some interesting technical design, some sort of architecture to it, because that is something that will come up in just about every coding interview. One of the first things that most companies like to do is look at your resume and say, "Tell me about this," right? Or like, you know, just explain something technical to me, or explain a project that you think is interesting or whatever. And in fact, even if they say, if they point to something specific on your resume and say, "Tell me about this," they'll be happy if you say, "That actually wasn't that technically interesting, but here's this other thing that I can talk about that like was really cool," you know. And so that's kind of like another side tip I would offer, is the thing that you have the most interesting story about, the thing that you can kind of tell a neat story where you're, again, like diagramming out like a technical design, you should put that at the very top of your resume so that it comes up in that kind of beginning chit-chat part of the interview.
Sit tight, podcast listeners. We're taking a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors. If you want to build apps that look great on every type of device, Zojo makes it easy, even if you're a beginner. The cross-platform app development tool lets you code your app in just one language, then simply click a checkbox to generate versions for other platforms. code an app for Mac OS, and have a Windows version in one click. You can also use their drag and drop tool to seamlessly create a user interface. Since Zojo uses native controls, the app will automatically look and perform as it should on every platform. Zojo is perfect for anyone who wants to build an app, even if you aren't an expert. Build an app to make your job easier or as a hobby. Zojo is also used by professional developers who want to build apps faster and even Fortune 500 companies. Want to give it a try? Learn to Code With Me listeners get 20% off with the coupon code ICANCODE. Try Zojo free at zojo.com/learn to code. That's Zojo, zojo.com/learn to code. Fullstack Academy is a leading coding bootcamp that helps programming enthusiasts from all walks of life become professional software developers at top-tier companies. Take Noelle, for example. Noelle encountered VBA while working in finance, and suddenly, programming was her jam. After learning all she could on her own, she applied to Fullstack Academy, and now she's a software engineer at a travel technology company, Porter & Sale. P.S. She's never been happier. To follow in Noelle's footsteps, try Fullstack Academy's comprehensive JavaScript course for free. You'll come out on the other side knowing the fundamentals of JavaScript, and maybe even ready to pursue programming for real. Visit fullstackacademy.com/learn to jumpstart your software development career today. Fullstack Academy, making great people into great developers. The thing with building your own projects, you know, side projects, is you can create your own story to tell. So even if you had, you know, work experience that maybe isn't as exciting to chat about, what you just said, you can instead use another example of something that you built and take them through that and really, you know, paint the story of what you built. So, and I also like that tip too about putting it higher up at your resume, like the things you want to talk about more or the things that were more technically complex, and positioning it that way. Because I think, and I'm kind of switching gears, I wasn't even planning on talking about this, but I know a ton of people always are just unsure of how to talk about side projects on their resume, or if they have a personal website or their LinkedIn or whatever. Do you have any thoughts on that? Like how they can include those in the best way?
Yeah. You're saying on the resume or LinkedIn specifically?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good question. You know, I can offer some tips from my perspective. I've never been a person who screens resumes. So some of this is going to be a little bit outside my wheelhouse. But my guess is, I think there are a couple different, this is maybe a helpful kind of angle for thinking about it. There are a couple different audiences to play to with that. So the first person is someone who screens resumes, right? So this is the phase where you're just trying to get an interview at a company, okay? And that person who's screening resumes, in a lot of cases, is not going to be an engineer his or herself. There are a few things that they may be looking for, but in many cases they're kind of doing sort of advanced keyword matching, right? So they're just kind of looking for words that match up with the job description. So that might be specific languages or frameworks. They may be looking for Rails. They may be looking for Heroku. They may be looking for, you know, Postgres, Hadoop, you know, whatever, React, whatever kind of stack they have. And then they may be looking for, everything else that's coming to mind is just more examples of vocab words that are like tools or frameworks. Could even be things like agile development or test-driven development or something, right? So whenever you describe either work experience or side projects, put all those vocab words in there, and in fact, just put them right on the top, right? So just like give the name of the job or the name of the project, and then right under just say, you know, Django, Heroku, you know, whatever, like what the stack was, right? And then, you know, any other potentially relevant vocab words like test-driven development, continuous deployment, whatever, right? So that's kind of the first person that you may want to think about with your resume, including side projects. Now, the second person is a person who's running an interview. And so she is going to be technical almost all the time. And in those cases, they're coming at things a little bit differently. So in a lot of cases, she's going to have your resume in front of her. And in a lot of cases, like, you know, she's been working, she's trying to like ship some code, she's behind on something, and like, oh, right, I have an interview scheduled for 2:00. And so she runs over to a conference room to meet you, or like hops on the phone to get in touch with you. And like, there's just like a copy of your resume sitting there on the table, or they like pull it up from their email real quick, like during the call. And so they're looking at it for the first time, right? So they're not even probably going to read all the way to the bottom. So you're going to want to put the most interesting stuff right there on the top. And that's why I suggested this idea of putting the thing that you're most excited to talk about right there on the top. Because in a lot of cases, they'll just like point to that and go, oh, that sounds interesting. Like, tell me more about that.
Oh, awesome. Thank you for sharing that. And yes, there's definitely different people that'll be reading the resume, whether it's someone who's like the person you'll work for, like your manager, other people that are going to be conducting the interview that could be your colleagues one day, or coworkers, or working on the same team. And then, of course, as you mentioned, the person who's the screener, who could be someone that is like on the people ops team, or someone else that you may not even be on the same team on or ever work with one day, but they're just the ones that are going through the applicants. Yeah, one thing that I just want to mention is, because one thing that I found, and I wish I had an answer for this, and I think this is something I need to think about more in the future and maybe put other content around this on. But I do think just having the side projects on the resume can be difficult, because I know, because I used to do a lot of the 20-minute phone interview, like before the person comes into the office. And there's been times, because you go through resumes so fast, that I didn't realize that something that was a side project, like something they built themselves, the way they kind of framed it on their resume, I thought it was like an employer, because it had like the company name and it said what they did, but it wasn't clear to me that it was like something they built. Of course, there are other people who had sections, you know, side projects, or they made it very clear it was something they built. So I would just say, for anyone listening who's doing this, definitely try to have it be clear that it's something you built and not a company you worked for, because you could throw the person off then, right? If they didn't notice that on your resume, or was a little vague how it was worded, and then you're chatting to them on the phone and then that becomes clear. But anyway, that's the only thing I can add to that. But I also loved what you talked about before, when, you know, going through, having this example in mind that you could run through with the whiteboard, and your story back when you were in college, when you were working with the YouTube API. I know back when you were working with that, you had no intentions of it helping you later on during an interview or something. But I think for those that are listening that do have a more specific industry they want to work in, or they have a clear sense to work with the different services and third-party tools and APIs available, like in that realm.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. If you know that you want to be working in a specific space, like, definitely get working with those tools. But if you're more open, then, you know, again, like, don't, it's hard to predict what is going to pop, like what's going to resonate with the companies you talk to. So, again, my biggest thing is, work on something that, actually seems fun, because then you're going to make more progress. You're going to, be more excited to talk about it, all that stuff.
Yeah, 100%. So, like, what are your thoughts on just like throwing in the towel and giving up on a project? I know you mentioned a story earlier about the Sudoku app that you built, and how you gave up for a while and then you returned back to it and finished it. But if a person just loses all interest, or they get really, really stuck, should they give up? Or like, what are some tips on them to push through if you think that's what they should do?
Yeah, I think... you know, finishing a project is definitely better than not. But I don't know. I also think that there shouldn't be too much shame in giving up. Because I think that the truth is, you know, for recruiting specifically, at least, you know, a company, an individual engineer who's like going to interview you, or like a resume screener or whatever, like if they actually go to the URL where the project is hosted, that already is kind of a miracle, right? And then if they really get in there and like kick the tires a whole bunch, that's like, that hardly ever happens, right? For the most part, they'll kind of like look at the landing page and then, you know, go like, oh, I have to log in. Okay, whatever. And then bounce. You know what I mean? So you can, I would say, for, in a recruiting context, don't be afraid to like fake it a little bit, if that makes sense. So if you have to like hard code some stuff, kind of throw in some fake data, you know, kind of mock out some features so that like they don't really work, but you kind of have like the flow built out for how it would work. You know, you don't have to be dishonest. Like in an interview, if it comes up, you can say like, yeah, I didn't finish it, but here's what the design was like. And here's how I was, you know, working on building it out, whatever. I think that's going to be enough, right? So I guess put differently, like, think about the demo, right? If that's what, if that's what's important to you, is having the side project like do some lifting during our recruiting process, think about what the demo is going to be like. And in fact, like, it's less important that the project fully works and doesn't have bugs and all that stuff than it is that it's very easy for someone to see the demo. So in fact, a better product for you to have like linked to on your resume or on your LinkedIn or whatever is like a screencast of you using the thing, right? And when you record that screencast, you could mock out features and put in test data and like, you know, kind of smooth over some stuff that you never quite finished. Because otherwise, again, if you like make this whole website, no one's going to log in. No one's going to like actually, and then, you know, they'll get to like the dashboard and be like, okay, like now add your first book to your reading list or whatever. And then they'll be like, I don't want to do that, you know, and then they'll bounce. So they won't even really get to see the product anyway.
Yeah. I think that was great advice. I've never heard anyone actually share that before. So thank you so much for talking about that. And when you were chatting, I was just thinking about like kind of the plague of perfectionism. And I succumb to this all the time in a range of ways, but sometimes it's like, you know what? It doesn't have to be perfect. If you wait for something to be perfect, it's never going to be done. And what's more important, as you said, is like kind of like faking it until you make it and showing the demo, yeah, showing you use it, having certain parts done, but not all of it has to be done. And exactly as you said, if you're like an interviewer or, you know, potential teammate who's going to be talking to you like on the phone and vetting you, they probably aren't going to go through the entire thing. Like they may just go through a small bit of it. I think though, like the further you move along in the interview process, there could be a bigger chance that they may go back and check it out in more detail, but still, like, especially when you're just getting the attention and just getting the interview, there's no way they're going to spend that much time going through it because they don't have that much time to go through the thing, right? So all really awesome advice. So is there anything else before we leave that you could share with those who are just stuck on figuring out what kind of project to build? I know you talked about like the interest, the technologies, thinking about, you know, if they know what realm they want to work in, taking that into consideration. Is there anything else you could leave people with that are just stuck on what to do?
Yeah, I guess I would offer kind of a few ideas. The first is think about web scraping. You know, this is just me, but like, I love web scraping projects. It's like just the right amount of like devious and a little subversive and fun and technically interesting and kind of involves the web, but also kind of more programming, and you get to learn how like a web browser works a little bit better and how a web server works and all that stuff. So, I love web scraping stuff. So I shared some examples about that. Another is, Yeah, you can start with a piece of technology you want to learn, and come up with something that would do well with that kind of technology. So if it's like a front end web framework, for example, you know, something that's really front end-y. Another thing is, think of either like a product that you really want to use yourself, right? Like maybe a web browser extension that you really want, or a web app that you really want, or, think about just make yourself a reminder, put a calendar reminder every hour tomorrow, so that your phone buzzes once an hour to tell you, like, to remind you to think of a problem that you're having, or to like look out for if you're having a problem with something, something that frustrates you or whatever. See if you can come up with some ideas for problems that you have that could be solved with software. And then the last suggestion I would give is, if you can't come up with a good problem to solve, just reinvent the wheel, right? So take a piece of software that you really like and see if you can build it yourself. For me, like an image board and an online forum was a good example of that. Nowadays, people might be more excited about like something that's more of a social network. But even, you know, something as simple as like a to-do list app, right? Or, you know, whatever you nerd out about, if you're really into if you're really into reading, you know, maybe a Goodreads, I think, is the name of the app that people like to use to track the books they read and stuff. If you want to make like a Goodreads clone, just kind of whatever you like to use. See if you can build it yourself.
All great stuff, Parker. Thank you again for coming on. Where can people find you online?
Best place to find me is on Twitter, InterviewCake, as in the handle is at InterviewCake. Facebook.com/InterviewCake.
Perfect. Thanks again for coming on.
Thanks.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Parker. Remember, you can find the show notes for this episode back on the Learn to Code with Me website in the podcast area. And as I hinted to in the beginning, to go along with this episode, Parker is giving Learn to Code with Me listeners 50% off his Interview Cake program for this week only. This special 50% discount is going to end on Friday, November 11th at midnight Eastern Time. And to take advantage of the special offer, go to this URL. learntocodewith.me/interview. Interview Cake is an amazing product that will help you ace technical interviews. People who have used Parker's product have landed jobs at companies like Amazon, Facebook, Google, Apple, Snapchat, Hulu, LinkedIn, Spotify, and so many more. Again, the special URL is learntocodewith.me/interview. Go there and get 50% off of Interview Cake. If you're listening to this episode in the future, after November 11th, I'm sorry, but this deal will no longer be available. However, make sure to sign up for the Learn to Code with Me email list so you can learn about these deals when they happen and not after the fact. And you won't miss another this way. Thanks so much again for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.